Good afternoon, everyone, on this beautiful Sabbath day. This morning it was 44 degrees warmer outside than it was last Tuesday morning when I took the dog out. 25 above versus 19 below. The dog likes it a lot better. You know, it seems that we were just enjoying the Feast of Tabernacles, and here it is already 3 months since the Feast of Tabernacles has occurred. And that means we only have 2.5 months before the Spring Holy Days and when Passover arrives. As our focus is now shifting to the Spring Holy Days, we start to plan for them. We start doing a self-assessment of how well we have matured and grown spiritually and mentally over the past year. Often we conclude that we could have done better. We are thankful for what God has done for us, extending his grace towards us and showing us mercy, for he abundantly pardons. You know, we're all familiar with God's love for us and that he gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice in our stead for the sins that we have committed. His love is immeasurable, and we are reminded that Christ's love for us is as well immeasurable. It was Christ that experienced the pain and the suffering of the brutal crucifixion at the hands of the Romans, clinging to life, nailed to a stake. In the final minutes of his life, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He, above all others, having never sinned or committed any injustice in his life, would have been justified in calling down 12 legions of angels to save him. However, he didn't, because of his love for us. You know, we're commanded to become like Christ. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God." So many of us have suffered unjustly at the hands of others. At other times, we may have brought upon ourselves ill treatment because of what we may have done or said. Regardless, do we have the same attitude which Christ possessed? Are we willing to forgive others for the injustices that we may have received from them? Continuing in verse 21, "For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Verse 22, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return." When we're reviled, do we revile back? "When he suffered, he did not threaten." When we suffer, do we plot revenge? "But committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness." Yes, Christ set us the example that we are to follow. We are to forgive others for what they may have said or done. You know, we're all familiar with the model prayer that Christ gave to his disciples back in Matthew 6. It's a template of the things that we are to pray about. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. In the original and New King James versions, we read in verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." it's rendered the following in the Living Bible as, "And forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us." He concludes this model prayer with a stern warning to his disciples, quoting from the Living Bible in verse 14, "Your heavenly Father will forgive you if you forgive those who sin against you. But if you refuse to forgive them, he will not forgive you." That is quite a sobering thought. If we don't forgive others in our relationships, we will not be forgiven. So many conflicts in our relationships stem from the fact that we are unwilling to forgive others. Do we keep a list of the wrongs that they have committed against us? Do we bring them to mind when we see or interact with them? So-and-so did such-and-such to me once upon a time, and I haven't forgotten it. Is that how we really want to go through life? They gave me a certain look, or they said or they did something that I didn't like. I'll show them. Is that really how we should be acting in our relationships? God said that vengeance is mine. We read in Romans 12, verses 17 to 21. Romans 12, verses 17 to 21. "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Verse 19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Many will often misunderstand what is written about heap coals of fire on his head. Some will read this and think that by doing good to their enemies, they will heap coals of fire upon their head. But is this what the scripture really means? Is that what the scripture is saying? Do we really want to heap coals of fire upon the head of someone? Or for that matter, even one coal of fire upon their head? How is that showing forgiveness if we are secretly hoping for coals of fire upon our enemy's head? Do we really want that sort of punishment to be doled out to our adversaries? First of all, we need to consider who Paul is talking to or writing to. He is writing to the Romans. The Romans were a polytheistic society filled with worshiping pagan gods and public ceremonies with much pomp and circumstance. These ceremonies often involved making sacrifices, making sacrificial offerings. Those individuals that were offering sacrifices, let's say for penance, would be required to bring the coals to the altar for their sacrificial offering. They would carry these hot coals in a large pan above their head. They wouldn't carry them in front of themselves because carrying a large basin of coals in front of you would burn your face, burn your hands. You wouldn't carry them in a bucket. The heat would come up from your bucket and burn your hand. So to carry them above their head, they needed someone else to fill the pan above their head. They needed someone else to heap the coal above their head in order for them to fulfill their sacrificial penance. By doing good to those who have done us wrong, we will someday be able to help them come to repentance. The ancient Romans understood this practice. They understood of the fact of heaping coals above someone's head. You know, we're not to take matters into our own hands to exact vengeance. You know, God will take care of matters in the just and equitable way. To get along and not take offense at what others may do, we need to remember Paul's admonition in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. What would the world be like if everyone esteemed others better than themselves? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Esteeming others will go a long way to helping overcome obstacles in our relationships and help us to be forgiving. In 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9, 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 9, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Christ's final command before his crucifixion to his disciples is found in John 13, verse 34 to 35. John 13, verse 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Having the love of God in our mind and heart will give us the ability to truly forgive others. When we experience trials and persecutions, we too can pray, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do."